Welcome to Jubilee at Home. We're so blessed to be with you in your homes worshiping this morning, and we're honored that you're together here with us. We're just going to invite you now while you're there. You can stand, you can sit, you can dance. You're at home. You have the freedom to move about as the Lord leads you. And so would you just join us right now? We're going to lift our attention to Jesus. Because that's why we're gathered. We're gathered to worship him. We're gathered to praise him. We're gathered to give him all the glory as his glorious church. And we love being with you all over the world. Good morning, Israel. Hello, Korea. Hello, Mexico. Hello, all of our friends in Europe and UK. We love you. Thank you for joining us right now at this time. Let's pray. Holy One, glorious Jesus, you are amazing in all your ways. We declare that you are sovereign and you are king. We are here to gather in your name, Jesus. We are in our homes gathered together to declare that Jesus Christ is still and always will be Lord of lords and King of kings. So, Father, we honor you in the name of your Son. And we glorify you in this moment, Lord, that as we lift up our praise to you, as we lift up the name of your perfect Son, Jesus Christ, the King of all kings, we declare that every virus will die at the name of Jesus. We declare that every infirm person will rise up and call you blessed in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare that our economy is in your hands. And we thank you, Father, that you have every answer and every solution. And now we lay down every prayer need we have, God. We take this moment to come to you and to consecrate this moment. So we bring you our concerns, our needs, our hopes, our fears, our anxiety, and every prayer request we have, Father. And we're going to set it down at your feet right now. And we're going to look up where our redemption draws from. It comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth, the Lord of hosts. And we're here to worship you. We're here to focus on you. We're here to press in into the secret place with you right now, Jesus. To glorify you, our King. To worship you and to magnify you. To see you far greater than anything else right now that's going on. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Be praised. Be glorified now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
God is so pure. And that's just what we need right now, but not just what we need in this moment, but every single day, every single moment. And we drift throughout our days, and we have worries and concerns that come, but those things aren't even a part of our spirit. The voices that we hear that are negative, that's not even God talking, that's not even us. It's the enemy just trying to put thoughts into your mind and make it seem like it's your own. So when you worship, you live a lifestyle of worship, you sing, even just the place in your heart, even if you can't say the words, to just have it just come out of your heart. Wherever you are, wherever that might be, you pray from where you are, you worship from where you are, you live from where you are, and it's just so pure and healing, and that's what moves us forward.
Joy, he is my joy, and hope arise. is my joy. He is the hope of the nations. The Father's heart we're embracing. He is the song we're declaring. Yes, He is the joy. Yes, He is my joy. He's bringing the hope to the homeless. He's giving His heart to the broken. He's sharing His home with the orphan. Yes, He is the joy. Yes, He is my joy.
Evangelical than love. Love is just automatically evangelical. And if we go out and we just love, we share, we bring hope to people that are hopeless. Hope to the hopelessness. It's just real lyrics right here. Our hope is in You. Let's sing it one more time right here.
My hope is in You, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. I am anchored, never shaken. All my hope is in You. All of my hope is in You, Jesus. All of my hope is in You.
This This is the garden. Here in the place I find you close, this is communion. Here in the place I'm fully known, and it was all so simple. You're so easy to love, and no space between us. You're so easy to trust. This is where I'm meant to be. Me and you and you and me. I don't have to prove a thing. You've already approved of me. This is where I'm meant to be. I don't. sing praises, I sing praises. I give you honor, worthy Jesus. I see glory falling in this place. I see hope restored for healing of all diseases. I sing praises, I sing praises. I give you honor, worthy Jesus. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you praise, all of the glory, God. We give you praise and all of the honor. You are our God, the one we live for. We give you
all the glory, Jesus. Wherever you are, let's all give him the glory. Let him fill wherever we are sitting, our living rooms, our car, wherever we are. Let's the glory of God rise up from our hearts. All of the glory, Jesus. You deserve it all, always. All honor, all glory, all power, might and dominion. It is yours, Jesus.
It is yours.
Glory. We worship you. We exalt you. We exalt you, Lord. All of it, all of it, all of it. Whoa. God said, I will be exalted that I might have mercy on you. So we receive the mercies that start to fall as we start to exalt and glorify Jesus. Good morning, good afternoon, welcome, Jubilee. Good to have you together, to be together.
Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank the Lord for the privilege of being able to meet like this. I think to all of us, everything that's taken place has been a big shock. There's so many times I'm like, gosh, Lord, who is blind but your servant? I mean, how many prophetic voices did we hear prophesying that we'd all be stuck at home and, you know, kind of in this big timeout? But I am so missing everybody, and I'm so grateful that we can just come and be with you in this manner.
Exactly. You know, big time out. I like that. Because it's a time to, I heard it that he shut us in, to shut us down, to shut us up, so we could hear again.
Yeah. Well, gosh, thank you, worship team, so much. Yeah. And thank you for being here.
Yeah.
I mean, really, from the bottom of our heart, we just so thank God for you. I got kind of undone on the last service because last week I had this kind of like funny encounter with the Lord. And then, Steve, you went into the whole preparing of the heart. And last Wednesday, I was kind of by the end of the day, everybody that was going to be doing service tonight was here. And as Steve shared, we've had a little interesting thing because we've got these two big dogs that got shipped to us. And it's not like we had dogs all our life. We had, you know, litters of puppies, did the whole thing. And so now we've been enjoying a season of no dog. But lo and behold, I end up with these two big dogs. And they're not used to our house and the noises and the sounds and what goes in the backyard and the squirrels. I know we're supposed to be taking the offering.
No, this is a story.
So, you know, they have to go, like, bark at everything. And right next door to us is another big dog that really loves to bark. I mean, we have this little rickety fence between us. So if we get the dog in back, our neighbor's dog and our dogs out at the same time, it's like the fence is about to fall down. And, you know, they go to try to attack each other through the fence. So I'm like sitting in my kitchen. I've got my two grandsons who were now trying to do homeschool, and I'm like way out of practice. The dog's going in and out and trying to coordinate with my neighbor. Okay, whose dog gets to be out now? And it's your dog's turn to go outside. And I think I had played go, this is now about dinner time, and I think I'd played go fish so long and concentration, and I was just, you know, complaining to everybody who's texting me, hi, how are you? What are you doing? I love working at home. This is, you know, and I'm like, no, I'm not happy at all. And I sat there and I said, what, Lord? You know, if you wanted to put me in jail, I think I might have actually been happier than, you know, this little prison I'm in at the moment. And I just heard clear as day, but I need you to see your heart. Because, you know, everybody else was looking at my heart as I'm like, you know, mad as tacks at these dogs and, you know, just everything else. And it was just like, it just broke me. Like, yeah, you know, we have lived comfortably so long. It's almost like we're addicted to being comfortable. And I was just like, you need to know that. And I don't know, I just broke. And it was like, I just felt how much we've had it so good and we've taken so much for granted. And I believe that there is a way where the Lord is saying he's really collecting our hearts to himself. And there's portions of our hearts, there's portions of my heart that weren't ready to go into the future. I needed something where I could look at this loud and clear. So I want to just encourage everybody as we go to the Lord this morning. I don't know if you're going to expound on that. I have no idea what you're going to say. Never do, but... if not, go back and you can kind of get the gist of what I'm talking about during that first service. Because I believe here we are, your circumstances are probably different than mine, but I think we're all in places that the Lord's given us the time to really reflect before him, to get ready so that he can take us into the future.
Yeah, totally. Philippians 4:13 says, but I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And then 4:19 says, but my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ. And I just, when we do the offering and thank everybody, we've moved from a primary bucket passing congregation to high tech. 50% of the giving this month's gone through on the tech. And we appreciate that because that's a way to keep ourselves connected heart to heart and by giving. And so I want to just though release a blessing because we're aware people are losing jobs. Our daughter's been furloughed as of the first of this coming month. We've got the dogs of our other children that are on their way back to the D.C., but now the military said nobody's moving. So we're going, oh, God, please don't let us keep the dog for 2 years. But we're all in pressure. But God said, Paul said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And in Christ, in the glory that's in Christ Jesus, we're in Christ Jesus. So your and mine and all of our needs are an internal transfer in Christ. He places within us. He can bring it through the stock market. He can deplete it through the stock market. But wherever the need is, where he's going to shift, it's going to come out of the riches of his glory that are in Christ and come into our life. And I bless us. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, we're cognitive that there are people that are being overextended like our healthcare workers. We pray for them right now. That you would strengthen them with your might through your spirit and their inner man, that they would have Christ dwelling in their heart by faith. They could be rooted, grounded in love, more love, greater love, that they would see in the width, the length, the depth, the height of the love of God, be filled with the fullness. They would have an extended prayer. We declare there's coming an end to COVID-19. It is losing its power and its viciousness and its capacity to grow in the host of people's hearts and bodies. We declare in Jesus' name, there's strength coming from the sanctuary of God in heaven. We declare, Lord, that you are also the one who resources every person who's without a job, any person who's been displaced, disruption. We declare that you're calling your body out of this trial into prosperity. In Christ is health and wealth. Yes. In all situations, no matter where we are, in Christ, we can find health, his health and his wealth. For our lives to live out in Jesus' name. Let it break forth, even now as we just worship.
Yes. And Lord, I just want to thank you that you are a refuge and a strength, Lord, a very present help in time of trouble, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that as we enter into that place, there is a place that makes you happy. There is a place, God, where those streams flow, Lord, the very presence, your very tabernacle, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that everyone who's suffering in any way, Lord, can enter into your presence, Lord. There is a city that makes glad our God. And Lord, I thank you that even in that psalm, you tell us that as we're still, just to be still and know that you are God and that you will be exalted among the nations, Lord. And Lord, we do now, in Jesus' name, declare your help, your supply of the Spirit into every household in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Blessings. Thank you. Philippians chapter 1. I want to just touch this one verse because I feel today the Lord really came to me and said, I want you to bring me to my sons and daughters. I want you to bring me to them. So it's a new, so I'm bringing you into my prayer life. And I believe the Lord wants to give us the confidence to journey into the fullness of what he's got for us. So I'm excited about this. Paul started simple statement. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi and with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. We are in a new place that church has never been, not us, this generation, but it's not where the church has never been. Because in Paul's generation, the first century church, there was persecution separating people. And Paul himself is writing from a Roman prison under the palace guard. And he's declaring something that I've already discovered. I've got you in my heart. Cammie and I are, we feel you. We pray for you. And it's funny because when somebody's in your heart, you start carrying them. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy. So I'm finding, I bring myself into my place, the secret place that the Lord has prepared for me, that place in Christ. And once that is well established and secured, and the connections and faith and hope and love and joy and in Christ, then I just start bringing everybody. And everyone who comes to my mind, I start being thankful for. And then I start praying. And then I start having joy. You see, this is a bit of assignment. Wherever you are, you may be sequestered someplace, isolated, stay at home. But as people pass your mind, as people come up into your thoughts, give thanks for them. Just thank God for them. Don't worry over them. Thank God for them. Shift the way you do this. And then pray for them with joy. Expectance, something wonderful's happening. He said, for we've been in fellowship in the gospel from this first day until now. So he didn't see himself separated so far, far, far away. He saw them in fellowship, partnership, being confident of the very thing that he has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul, this is what we did. You come to my mind, I thank God for you. I make mention of you in my prayers, bring in my requests with joy, and I'm confident that he who began the very good thing, we've been displaced to be brought into his place. We are not separated, maybe physically, but we're being united spiritually. And this completion, he will complete it. He will complete what he's begun, he will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. And then the clincher, just as it is right for me to think this of you. Why, Paul? Why could you have so much faith for a people that you were separated so far from? Because I have you in my heart. Prayer places people in our heart. Prayer produces intimacy. Intimacy with the one to whom we pray. Intimacy with the ones for whom we pray. And intimacy with the ones we pray. We'll get to do that again soon. But prayer produces intimacy because you're in my heart. Inasmuch as in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, we're all partakers. You're all partakers with me of grace. Paul goes on to say later that he knew that through their prayers and the supply of the Holy Spirit, he would be delivered. And we're in a season that we're going to close with a declaration of a decree. I asked the Lord for a decree that we could declare concerning this COVID-19 and this pandemic and how to position ourselves so that the Lord would ask how to approach him. So we'll do that at the end. But I want to continue in this idea of prayer. I'm going to take you to John 17. I got to bring you to Jesus' journey. Jesus, oh, 10 years or 9 years ago, the Lord began to train me in sequestered prayer. Prayer that didn't change the outside, but changed me on the inside. I've been so shut down in so many natural things that I wanted change so badly in, that finally, realizing nothing was changing, I thought, what do I do? And I thought I'd just find Jesus. I'm gonna, when I read, I'll do John 17:14. Let me just turn on my notes so I can find him easy. So, turn off auto lock. That's the point. You can keep your screen on all day. Good. Thank you. Father, I just want to thank you for this moment. This is new to me. Jesus, you came to me in a unique way. And I know that I'm not capable. I asked you to help me because without the power of Holy Spirit, I can't witness you. So I'm dependent right now that Holy Spirit, you'd come into every heart, every home, every parse, every device that's broadcasting the sound and the visual. And you would become the sound and the visual to magnify Jesus Christ. This is not a game. We're not taking advantage of people. We're not sitting here trying to entertain people. You have called for a fast, not the kind of fast that we fast of food and drink, but of so many other things that have occupied our time and stolen away our hearts and allowed our life to be entangled in the natural, when indeed the flesh profits nothing, but the words you speak are spirit and life. I pray now that you would release for each of us the union and the communion inside of Christ and his words and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to get into this. John 17:14, Jesus is praying the prayer before he goes to Gethsemane. And he says, I've given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. You see, this is our problem. We have two places to live from, the kingdom or the world. From a heavenly place in Christ to a worldly place of the flesh. And I do not pray for them that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. So I want you to understand that right now, this season for the living body of Jesus Christ on the planet is not to try to get out of where we're at. It's try to get into Christ where he is. It's try to allow his separation process to take place so we can become one with him and out from the other. So he says, I don't want you to take them out of the world. I just don't want the evil one to be able to touch them. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. It's my favorite bumper sticker, not of the world. Our life does not originate from here. We are of Christ, in Christ. They're not of the world as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Set them apart. Keep them safe, separate. Keep them, the evil one, from being able to entangle them and take them into a place. Let their souls be returned to rest and let their spirit rest inside of truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus sanctified himself. He lived what he's preaching, and he's bringing the fruit of his life to us right now. It's such a profound moment. I just go ballistic. See, ever since we've been watching this, you know, coronavirus emerging out of China back in December, our daughter and son-in-law and two kids that sent us their dogs, they're in Okinawa. They were in Beijing all the way up to the 26th of December. We've been conscious of this emerging thing, but yet not fully aware of, you know, how much it would just kind of become a tidal wave, a tsunami over the United States. But I want to say, God has never changed his attitude toward us in one moment. He's continued a place of union. Jesus sanctified himself to the Lord by truth, so do we. So John 8, verses 31. Just wanted to bring these verses quickly. I'm not here to instruct you. I'm here to lead you, each of us, into our place that we are to hold. It's a place prepared for us in Christ. John 8, in verse 31, Jesus said, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" Wednesday, we will touch into this more intensely, because this place of practicing Jesus and his word and Holy Spirit. So he's giving these, he's like, you've got faith in the room, following faith. Now he says, come on, guys, stay in my word. Abide in my word. You're my disciples indeed. And then comes the promise. And you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, the truth that we're talking about of Jesus Christ is in the word, because the word is made flesh. And when we see the truth in the word, we turn toward Christ and he heals us. It's as simple as that. And he does it over and over and over again, as many times as we can see and turn. And the truth will make you free. I could just see his excitement. He's been practicing this, living this. That's why for our sake, he sanctified himself. They answered, "We're Abraham's descendants, never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you'll make us free?" First thing man does is disconnect himself from the Spirit of God and connects himself to some physical circumstances to which he can deflect and get high and hide himself. But Jesus answered, whoa. "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." Well, I wish that would have caught them, but it didn't. A slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. See, sonship comes through submission to truth of who Christ is. You have to submit to the words of truth that want to be spoken to us and abide under, saying, these words are truth, therefore I will frame my thoughts, my imaginations, my emotions. I will command my soul to submit, and I will abide inside of the truth until it makes me free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Truth shown is not known until you abide in it. When you abide in the word, the truth you see will make you free, because you will know. You'll know. And that's what we're being schooled in right now. We're being schooled in the school of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and truth, to come into sanctification, into Christ, to enter into his glory, promised us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So let me take you to Luke 4. Let's start where Jesus began his ministry. Luke chapter 3, actually, verse 21, two verses. If we go back to where Jesus began, then I feel like you'll have appreciation for the crash course we're in. So many of us have just been thrust into something we were not prepared for. And not about the physical things we don't have access to, and the inconveniences and restrictions and the restraint. Not all that. We're creative people. We can find our way. But all of a sudden, the support system of life in Christ, was so much of it had grown in the corporate that we lost our identity in the individual inheritance. And now God just says, no, I gotta wait to fix that. Let's just cause everybody to grab hold of me again, and I'm going to do it. So let's follow Jesus. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass, Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, funny, here he is praying, the Son of Man praying. The heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I'm well pleased." Now, in Matthew, Mark's account, it speaks that God says, "This is my beloved Son." But in Luke's account, because Jesus was praying, we hear the conversation that Father was having with his Son. So he didn't need to tell the crowds, "This is." That was for others to see in Mark and Matthew. But here it was Jesus praying. So he says to the praying man, "You are my Son, my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." Now, if we could just jump over to Luke chapter 4, we find Jesus chapter 4, verse 1, we find that Jesus is, you know, he's in the experience and we're rejoicing. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, chapter verse 1, all the way to 1. Thank you. And here's what happens. This is going to help us. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You see, Jesus was now equipped, but he hadn't been tested. He hadn't discovered the power of his defense. He hadn't seen the sword of the Spirit in action in this setting. He's filled with the Spirit, called, separated, Son, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Remember Jesus' prayer, John 17. "I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to keep them from the evil one." The word of God, first and foremost, is to separate my heart unto Jesus, to be in union with his truth and to submit myself in joyful surrender, to be confident that the one who has me will care for me and will carry me and bring me to the other side, and not to break out of. In the garden, we threw away glory at the lie that we could have a better place as gods ourselves than to be submitted to the glory of God to sustain us in relationship. We chose the tree of knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life. So Jesus now has to walk out the same temptation, but he has to hold his place. Now, what is he going to use to hold his place? He's just had an incredible, powerful encounter. He's had the Holy Spirit. He's had the audible voice of God tell him he was a son. So what are you going to do? But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." What we are learning when we come into it with prayer and we bring our mouth and our heart, those are the two components of us. With our heart we believe unto righteousness, with our mouth we confess unto salvation. If we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, salvation. We come in prayer with our mouth and our heart. We bring in Holy Spirit and truth. This is where truth starts to make a big difference. The devil's staring him down and says, "Hey, you can just take care of yourself right now." And he says, "No, I'm not living by the sustenance of the moment. I'm living by the eternal word spoken out of his mouth toward me. I live by every word of God." That's why the word of God is such a part of prayer. We bring the word of God and we just allow that meditation of what does that mean? Wow. The devil then taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me. This is what Adam gave away when he ate the apple. And I give it to whomever I wish. This was a real temptation. Jesus was not saying that's a lie. It was tempted. What was he tempted? A kingdom without a cross. Simple kingdom without the cross, a simple path. Therefore, he says, if you will worship me, all of it will be yours. Imagine what a temptation to gain a kingdom purely by worshiping. It almost sounds like that's what we're supposed to be doing. Of course we are. But there's more to it than just that. Jesus answers, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. There's times that we just have to go through stuff to enter into the kingdom. The kingdom isn't just put on a platter and handed to us. It's promised to us. And then we walk through the things of life and we hold ourselves under the truth of God's word and we learn to hear under him. That's serving him, worshiping and serving, staying in union and not disengaging. Jesus is overcoming the devil and the set of circumstances through the living word of God by proclaiming the truth of God. Then he brought him up to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. What's the devil trying to do? He's trying to cause a fracture in Jesus' soul, to his heart, to his belief system. He's trying to cause him to have to prove something that he doesn't need to prove. He's always saying, if you are the Son of God. You see, right now, the doubts that are coming, the fears that are coming, are meant to separate us. And God's saying, hey, watch this. I'm going to cement you. I'm going to bring you even closer in the midst of this. Just put yourself in my presence. Give me some time. Give me the truth of my word back to me. Let my spirit activate these things. And watch what happens. So, but the devil knows the Bible better than most of us do. And now he's using the Bible against Jesus. Imagine to use the Bible. What happens to all of us? I don't know how many times I've read the scripture and got condemned. You never let the Bible condemn you. Why? Because Jesus was already condemned. You can't be condemned twice. You're in Christ. He's been condemned. We pick up now in the resurrection, in the righteousness. Yes, we're going to walk through things that are going to be appear to be difficulties imposed upon us by others or our stupidity, and we may doubt that it think it's a punishment deal. It's not. It's just an identification issue. We're walking with Jesus. We're going to go through some of the same stuff, but it isn't because we now deserve to be punished. Jesus was punished so we can be glorified. We can be brought close. We can stay in love and feel his love. But the devil's desperate. He goes on, he says, it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to keep you. He's trying to pressure Jesus into do something so God will do something. Act to make God act. It's a really subtle pressure, and it'll get in, it'll creep in, and you'll start thinking, I better do something, because God's, nothing's happening, so I better make a decision to do something. And I'm telling you right now, if God's not saying anything, just be still, be quiet, return and rest. You'll be saved. In quietness, in confidence will be our strength. But we can't, so we run. But after we've done the run thing, he says, I will wait that I may be gracious to you. This is all Isaiah 30. And I will be exalted so I can have mercy on you. See, what I've learned in these last 9 years, it is the truth of God in the presence of God that begins to affect the place of God that I get to live in. And then I am calibrated, and then I am brought into oneness, and then I am enjoying the fruit of it, and then I can bring you there, and we can hold a place of expectancy together That's why we're being trained. We're all being trained. We're being trained in the school of prayer, individual school of prayer. Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation by himself. So are we. And he goes on. He says, and in their hands, they'll bear you up in their... You're up unless you dash your foot against a stone. So if you jump, the word says he has to save you. So if you do something, then God's got to do something. So why don't you just go ahead and just do something so God does something. And Jesus said, it's also been written. It's been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. The word of God is not primarily to get us out of problems. It's primarily to keep us from the devil. It's the sword of the Spirit. And once the sword of the Spirit gets a hold of something, it cuts away the issues of the heart, the temptations, the testings, the emotions, the fears, the uncertainties. And we go, oh, I'm free. When God get us out of anything, any moment, that's not the problem. It has been the problem. The whole Bible's never about, you know, man having to do something so God could. It's always man learning to let God be God again and give him his place. So when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So there's those moments that looks like the devil's moment, and he's thinking he's got his moment, but God's using it for the moments of changing and shifting. Watch. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out throughout all the surrounding regions. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil, to let the word of God prevail, not the experience, but the truth. The truth triumphs over the lie, and the truth is stronger than the experience you're having, good or bad. And once the truth rises up and it begins to be our response to the accusation or the condemnation or the temptation, once the truth isn't just parroted, it starts by being a parrot. We start by saying what I heard, but soon the Holy Spirit says, let me say it to you again so you hear it for the way I hear it. And we begin to grow a sound that's called a confession of hope. It's the conversation of heaven over us and us with heaven in the presence of the living one. And when that begins to grow, it can begin to say, this is truth. The word says. And that's where the power starts to come. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You may not look any more powerful than your neighbors, but you've got a smile on your face. You're beginning to walk with a confidence. You're anticipating good things. You're building yourself up in the holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, looking for the mercy of God, keeping expecting the love of God to continue to dominate the circumstances because you're looking for mercy. Where's mercy? It's coming, always coming. Oh, Lord Jesus. Our day, give them your best. This is your time. This is a set apart time. We are going to pray now in a moment. We're going to make the declaration of the decree the Lord gave me that we can go into it. And it'll be in Luke. It'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 26. But the school right now is for all of us to grow up into Jesus, to grow up like Jesus, to learn the disciplines of Jesus, to begin to practice them again. We'll get to come back together. We're going to have a major party when it happens. So trust me, the Bible is probably revival breakout. But he can't have revival. Everybody's going, I want the move of God that is all saints movement. You're in it. This is the All Saints movement you were praying for. Everybody goes in the wilderness. Everybody wins over the devil. Everybody uses the Bible to overcome. Everybody gets led by the Spirit into the power of the Spirit. This is the Saints movement. Start where Jesus starts. You'll end where Jesus ended. Sorry, that's not what I wanted either. But I've already been in it, so I'm telling you, it doesn't change. Nothing in heaven is different. There's no ripple in the force. Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether you live or whether you die, he's Lord. He destroyed him who had power of the death, so we don't have to be afraid of death. He's Lord. He was tested in all points as we are, yet without sin, so he could be a merciful, faithful high priest. And he's able to come to our aid because he was tempted. Jesus is Lord. But it's not a corporate deal. It's an individual, heart to heart, to heart to heart, to heaven, to Christ. And then we become what we can be. Like Paul, have lived in a prison. I got faith for you all over there in Philippi. I got faith for you that you're going to grow up. I'm praying for you. I'm happy about you. Yes. Let me have a drink. Yeah, you can have a drink too. You probably have some water by you. So I asked the Lord, and we're going to use this as our closing prayer for our neighbors, our neighborhoods, for our country. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, give me what decree? This is growing pandemic. What would you say to me? And so he took me to these verses. I want to read them. This is Solomon's prayer in the dedication of the temple. We are that temple being dedicated by God. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. When they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you afflict them. Then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as inheritance. The sin that we are being convicted of today is unbelief, because we do not believe in the fullness of the Son of God. It is not about how you conducted your life and all those bad things we've done and others people say. And it's not about the bad people of the unbelievers. It's just a disconnect that we got to enjoy life for a long time without Jesus Christ in the fullness of dependence. So the turning of my heart is to turn from my independence to total Christ dependence. It's humility is where I come in complete dependence upon Christ to bring change, knowing that he can, will, and does. So I wait. When the famine is in the land, pestilence or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, when the enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is. So this is the decree of the Lord, of a prayer of Solomon. Whatever prayer, he says, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people Israel. Now, this is the clincher. When each one knows his own burden and his own grief and spreads out his hands to the temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive. Forgive, let the forgiveness flow. You see, the forgiveness has already been extended in Jesus Christ. We just don't understand what he was given. We don't appreciate. We don't know how to apprehend. Give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for you alone know the hearts of the sons of men, that they may fear you and walk in your ways as long as they live in the land which you gave to our fathers. So back to 28, when each man knows his burden, 28 or 30, when the famine is in the land, there's pestilence and plague, whatever. Verse 29, whatever prayer or supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, one person, all your people. When each one knows his own burden, his own grief. The word burden is the same word for plague. It's the same word for leprosy. It's the same identity. It's like what Cammie was sharing. All of a sudden, you see the preparation of your own heart. You go, my self-dependency, my independent thinking, my unforgiveness toward my neighbor, my me. I'm sorry. It's the problem is us and his own grief, the burden, the sorrow, the bitterness, the anger, the hostility that we've been projecting on others, telling other people that they're the problem, your behavior, your decisions, your choices, you're making me be me. No, we have to take the ownership. When each one knows his own burden and his own grief, but he spreads out his hands to heaven, to the temple, to Jesus. This is the surrender posture. This is, you can do this. And then hear from heaven. And forgive. That's what God wants to do, is to unleash a sound of forgiveness that could unlock hearts. There's been some really good intentions. Humanity has behaved himself quite well. We are trying to alleviate burdens in any way we can do so beforehand. Not like the financial meltdown in 2008, where people took advantage of the moment, even though there are those who will look to do that. But there have been big-hearted decisions. But what the Lord drew me into was my heart's our heart. Because then in chapter 7, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I think verse 13, maybe 12, God answers Solomon in a dream. He appears to him in a dream. 2 Chronicles, and he says, 2 Chronicles 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I heard your prayer. I heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, see, there's the burden and the grief. It's the individual heart. It's not a corporate heart. You can't, there's no such thing as a corporate heart unless you have all the hearts in unity with the one heart, Jesus Christ. Then yeah, we've got a corporate heart, but we're in time out for each of our hearts to be returned. And this is the decree the Lord has declared to me, that if we will allow this conversation to take place, the testing, that the truth rises up and we resubmit to truth versus to our own opinions, and we engage our emotions back in Holy Spirit, and we begin to give him our best time, and we go into this transformation moment, then God knows what he'll gain out of this is a glorified bride. Yeah, God's got a plan. He wants to take the burden off the earth. He wants to destroy COVID. He can do it in an instant. He can do it in a one minosecond, whatever. He could do, but right now, we're bringing hearts home. We're bringing our hearts back home. I'm going to begin to pray, and I'm going to ask you to join with me. Lord, I didn't ask for this scripture, but I know enough not to take the ones I want and let you tell me the ones you've given me. Lord, I know that in the earth today, pride reigns. Humility has been trampled under feet. We become an independent people, not a Christ-dependent. But I also realize that you've provided for us Holy Spirit, Word of God, testings that we can press in through prayer with our mouth and our heart and see the things that are swimming in us. You've already paid for all our sin. You've already remedied the curse that's on the earth. You've already undone the condemnation that would rest upon anybody. Your son paid for the condemnation, rose in intercession. There is no separation from the love of God. There's nothing that can be done to us or we can do that would separate us from the love of God. We are justified, so we can't be accused. So all you're doing is uniting hearts back home, bringing us home. But Lord, there's suffering. And there's testing. We don't minimize this. There's loss of lives. Families have lost people they love dearly. People are living in fear. Homes are being ruined. Pressures on the financials of every person. Minds are being assaulted. We're asking you. We don't want this whole thing to just come off of us. We want to find you right now. We know that we're a part of this, and we want your solution, Christ Jesus. Touch our hearts. We want to pray. We seek your face. We want to turn from our wicked ways, that self thing that we do. No condemnation, just turn. That's all you said is just turn. Just take a turn and return. Return to me. Just start doing it. We're going to worship. Just this kind of thing takes time. It isn't the easiest, but it's the best. And we've got time. You don't have to be afraid. He's got you. He's got you. He loves you. He won't let anything happen to you. You can trust him. You don't have to be afraid. He is your hope. He is good. I know this. I've learned this. Not in a book, but in the wilderness. Make it your prayer. Make it your prayer.
I will not be
moved. Yes. Come on. You don't have to be afraid. He's got us.
All my hope is in you.
Join your heart to his.
My hope.
Join your heart to his. We raise our hand. Joy, rise up. We're returning to him. His completeness, his victory, his kindness, his mercy. We're returning to him. Yeah. He's gaining the heart of his bride back. We're being drawn back, not through condemnations, desperation, sure. But it soon turned into delight. We will thank God for the season we've been in, for the embrace that we found. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yes, he is my joy. Let hope arise.
Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Inside. It starts inside. I won't be forsaken. I won't be forgotten. I will be cared for. I will be loved. You've got to believe it for yourself. If you don't believe God loves you here, you can't give love there. You've got to let God's love pour out, pour in by Holy Spirit. These are real truths. They're for us now. Now I want to do something. Let's pray and extend this confidence and hope into our neighborhoods. Before we go outdoors into our neighborhoods, bring your family inside. Thank God for your family. They may not live at home. They might be all over the earth like mine, but you just thank God for your family and bring them inside and pray with joy and thanksgiving over their lives, their future. They've been kept. They've been given covenant. Then we can touch our neighborhoods, and we want to touch our neighborhoods. We say to the neighborhood that we live in, let hope arise. Let joy be found in your dwelling place. Let peace keep you safe. Don't be afraid. Grow. Again, we bless all the health care workers, all the professionals. We speak the defense of God the fire of God that we around your house, the glory of God within you. We declare, God, you're in heaven. Forgiveness is extended through Jesus Christ. So in the name of Jesus, we receive healing, 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 healing in our hearts, our homes, healing in our bodies, healing in our nation. We bless New York and we send healing into the city, healing to Los Angeles, healing to London, healing into Singapore, healing into Tokyo, healing into Hong Kong, healing to Las Vegas, healing to every city, every nation, because healing is who Jesus is. But it's, well, from the heart, it all flows out. From the heart, it all flows out. Oh, I bless. Lord, we take our time. We're going to give you time this week. We use our mouth and we use our heart. Our mouth will give us the word, ability to give voice to your word. Our heart will begin to believe what we say in our worship with you in the word. There is sanctification. Then Holy Spirit and truth begin to transform us from glory to glory, and you begin to have an image of yourself inside of us. You unlock Christ within, who's the hope of glory. Lord in heaven, I bless every person. I'm asking you to release that which you've given me. I give it away freely, that they might, as I learned, as Jesus learned, to obey, to listen under the words of God, off of the things that are coming at you. Come back under the words of God, from off of the things that are coming at you, until the word of God, the truth of God, the spirit of God, the oneness of God begins to become the defining everything. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. Just worship. We love you. Wednesday, we'll get more into this. We will just keep unpacking it. All of a sudden, knowing how to have a good life in the midst of a crisis and a pandemic is a pretty good truth. And how to be a blessing to the people around you and release love and let love grow when you can't be with people, that's a pretty cool truth too. The church is taking on a whole nother dimension. Paradigm shifts taking place, and we're in the middle of it. I love you, miss you, but I've got you in my heart. I'm carrying you. I feel you in the spirit, and I'm not going to stop praying, because I know, I'm confident that he who has begun a good work in you will see it through to the day of completion, because we're partners in this. You're a partaker of my grace as I would partake of your grace. And together, your prayers, my prayers, our prayers, and the supply of the Holy Spirit will bring forth such a deliverance, because for us to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's not about sorting life to get it back where it was. It'll never be where it was. It's going to be where Christ is. We're headed somewhere. We're not trying to return. We're going someplace new in Christ. And I bless you with all this. And let us continue. Grow it in your own spirit, man, because you are a carrier of the greatest salvation the world has ever known, Christ Jesus our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth that sets men and women apart to Christ, in Christ, into glory. God bless you. We'll talk more on Wednesday.